two items of armor for the Christian: the loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I don't think I'm going to get to the breastplate of righteousness today, maybe another time, but we certainly need to take a look at this very weapon of truth that God has provided for us. We all ask the question from time to time, is there really any future for the gospel preaching church? We see the advance of wickedness around us, and no doubt behind every power of evil, there is the devil at work. And it would seem that Satan is advancing as he wishes, the wannabe god of this world. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we're continuing today with our message on your Christian armor girt with truth. And there is no better friend to the Christian than the truth. Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, is the truth. He is the Word, and we are to be a people of the Word. We are to be known as that people who stand for truth, and we search out the truth ever we can, and we expose the error. That's the work of a Christian, who is to be as the light of the world. So stay with us for our message. We have a little message at the end also on General, Here Is Your Hill, a story from the Civil War in the United States, and a great example of loyalty. Our hymn is Beneath the Cross of Jesus, I, Faith, Would Take My Stand. I hope that you are standing for the cross of the Lord Jesus. Now, just a few thoughts on this matter in Romans 5, which talks about tribulation working patience. And the Christian glories in tribulation. This is a strange thing, to glory in hardship, to glory in difficulties. And yet this is the mark of the people of God down through the centuries and to this day. Around the world there are persecuted Christians who will not surrender their faith. And they will bear the brunt of evil. They will become as the offscouring of the world and risk their property and life that they may be faithful unto Christ, because they glory in tribulations. And that's the statement of the Apostle Paul in Romans 5. But how can this be? And why would any Christian glory in tribulation? Well, we are told here that this worketh patience. That means that the end, the result of this pressure upon the Christian, that it works within him a spirit of endurance and bearing the burden. And tribulation gives rise to this patience, coming from a verb which signifies to keep good under. And it doesn't spoil us, but rather it purifies and it strengthens, just like muscles that are exercised by the athlete. The Christian is exercised by struggle and persecution. Then there's this endureth. In its turn, it works experience, the state of a force or virtue which has stood trials. This force, issuing victorious from the conflict, is undoubtedly the faith of the Christian, the worth of which he has now proved by experience, and it only sharpens the metal. It's a weapon of which henceforth he knows the value. The word works, and frequently this very term experience denotes the proved Christian, the tried Christian. The man has shown that what he is made of, and of course he stands up for the Lord Jesus. And then finally, the believer has thus experienced the divine force which faith fills him in the midst of suffering, and he feels his hope rise. Instead of the hope sinking, it rises. This is the marvel. Nothing which can happen to him in the future any longer affright him. the prospect of glory opens up to him nearer and more brilliant. How many Christians have declared that? That they knew more of the gladness of faith or lively hope when they were under tribulation. With this word, the apostle has returned to the end of Romans 5, verse 2, and as there are deceitful hopes, he adds that this is the hope of glory, and it runs no risk of being falsified by the pressure and the opposition of men. This is the wonderful thing about the gospel. And so I trust that you will take to heart that if you're a child of God, that no evil shall befall you, which shall undo your Christianity and your soul. This is the inner life living, sprouting up in the midst of difficulties. May God strengthen you today and bless you through his word. Stay with us now for this hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. So what is this truth? How can we grasp this? We cannot afford to speculate. I don't want your opinion and say, well, I think I've got an idea what this truth is. We don't want your opinion, and you don't want my opinion. And so as we come to this, we have to wrestle with to understand what is this truth that is to be girding our minds. How do we answer this? If we don't know the answer, how can we call ourselves Bible students? Well, the safe thing to do in a situation like this is to go by the context. The context helps us to understand the nature of this truth. Now, there is the immediate context, the verse before and after, and there's also the greater context, which is the whole book of Ephesians. Because when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, it was one document, one letter. And he would have set out at the beginning, knowing the things he wanted to say, and he would start it with this and built up on it and built up on it until he would get to chapter 6, and he would talk about truth. And so our understanding of truth here would be the same as his reference to truth in other parts of this epistle, Ephesians. Now, truth comes up in Ephesians 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth. So it's not feelings of truth. We can eliminate that one. It's not a subjective emotion. It's a word of truth. And then it goes on to say, and thankfully it really defines the thing for us. And it says, the gospel of your salvation. And so this armor that the apostle's talking about, this girding up of the loins, is the gospel. The essential elements of how a man, woman, boy, or girl is saved from their sin and made right with God. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Now, the girding up of our minds is related here to believing. And the way to make this truth work in your life, the way to make this gospel of salvation effective in your life against the devil — we've always got the devil in the background here. He's the enemy. He's the liar. He's the one that brings to bring you down and discourage you and tear you away from your commitment to Christ. This gospel, you must believe it. Believing now is the rolling up of your loins, or the tunic as the soldier did. Now, this is spiritual for you and me. For the Roman soldier, it was physical. He had a real armor, he had a real tunic, and he actually did this in real terms in his own body. But as you sit in church and you hear the Bible being preached, I don't have to give out Roman tunics for you to do this. What you are to do here is spiritual. It's something in your mind and in your heart. And you are to believe the truth of salvation. And the wonderful thing is, first of all, God has a way of salvation. He hasn't left you to perish. He hasn't left you to the jaws of the lion, the devil, to be destroyed and taken to hell. God has a way of saving your soul. And that way of salvation, let's go now to chapter 4 and verse 21. Chapter 4 and verse 21. You'll notice this gospel of salvation, this truth that saves the soul. Paul touches on it again here in chapter 4, 21. If so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. So we're not talking now about science. We're not talking about biology and physics. We're not talking about mathematics. We're not talking about general truth. We're talking about gospel truth, the good news that brings men and women to salvation. And I would even say we're not just talking now about all of the Bible. There's a lot of things in the Bible. There's the creation account, how God made the world in 6 days. There is the deity of Jesus Christ. There's the incarnation of Christ. There is the Trinity, the God in three in one. But do you know a Roman Catholic can believe that and go to hell? Some of the cults believe many of those things. And they believe in Jesus. If you were to ask a Roman Catholic, for example, do you believe Jesus died on a cross? They would say, yes, everybody knows that. If you were to ask a Roman Catholic, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to God in heaven? They would say, yes, that's what our church teaches. But they don't have the truth as it is in Jesus. And I come back to 1 Timothy 2:5, as we looked at earlier, that Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. The truth as it is in Jesus teaches us that he is the one way to the Father, the mediator between God and men. And you and I need to believe. We need to gird up our loins, taking this gospel armor to protect ourselves from the devil's lie by believing the truth as it is in Jesus. And my dear friend, I have to be honest and faithful to your soul today. If you cannot say today that Jesus is your mediator and your only mediator, you're a lost soul. You may believe many things that would be agreeable to the Bible. You may believe that the Bible's God's word. You may believe the historical facts of the Old Testament and the Gospels and Jesus' miracles and his ministry and his death and his resurrection. You may believe all of those things. But if you do not believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father as the one mediator between God and men, all of that will not save you. It's good. It's right. Those are truths. But the truth that the Apostle Paul is talking about in Ephesians 6 is the truth as it is in Christ, the truth that saves the soul. That Christ is a sacrifice for sin. And the only sufficient sacrifice. That his death was substitutionary. Oh, that's the precious heart of the gospel. The substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus on the cross. That he died in my place as my substitute. He bore all the sin and wrath of God due to me. And I believe, I accept, I rejoice, I bring to my heart these precious and wonderful truths of the gospel. And facts are fixed. They don't change. Now, in the Christian life, experiences change. You can be in the top of the world one day and down in the valley in the dumps the next day. a phone call, a bit of bad news, or three bad phone calls in a row can take you from the peak to the valley. But you know, nothing changes in the gospel. What Christ has wrought and done for us does not change. Now, what does putting on this armor entail here? Rolling up the tunic and tucking all this around the belt. And it speaks about rolling up, girding up the loins of your mind, believing, receiving, resting in the gospel. And that's your answer to the devil. That's your answer to the wicked one. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not worthy. I know that I am fragile and temperamental and prone to moods and swings and changes. But I believe the cross work, the sufficiency of what Jesus did, and he did it for me. And when you roll that up in your mind and receive it in your heart, you are putting on the armor of God against the attacks of the wicked one. Now, are we doing that? That's the question. It comes down to our obedience here. The soldier that didn't do this in battle, he was greatly hindered. His ability to maneuver and swing in each direction as in combat with that long tunic almost tripping him would not be so effective. If you want to be an effective witness, standing, and this is the command that is given in Ephesians 6, wherefore, stand therefore. Don't lie down, don't give up, don't surrender, stand. Girding up the loins of your mind with truth. And we've defined the truth. I think we've honestly labored here to get to what these truths are. The truth as it is in Jesus. The truth, the gospel that saves your soul. That's what we're standing on here. Not just general facts, but the gospel good news that Jesus died for me and paid it all on the cross. So that's the picture. And I hope we've got an understanding of it now. And I hope that you put on the armor. Then there is also here the priority of this. You may know that there are seven items in the Christian armor. You have the breastplate of righteousness, you have the shoes of the preparation of the gospel, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and the seventh one is the weapon of all prayer. The Reverend Greer, by the way, he didn't follow that line. He said there were only six pieces. Prayer is not a weapon. Prayer is really putting on all the other six. But for general preachers who are not so picky as the Reverend Greer, we always talk about seven items of the armor. And there's none for the back, by the way. There's no armor for the back. The soldier who turns his back to the enemy has no protection. And we're to face the enemy standing for God. But the priority, the number one in the seven, the number one is truth. Girding up your loins with truth. I had a couple of reasons for that. Because the standing of the soldier with his loins girt is really his mobility. And it doesn't matter what other armor you have on if you can't move. And I thought about a man in a wheelchair. And any one of us could be reduced to a wheelchair, but how weak that would make us. What limitations and how ineffective we would be as a soldier. You wouldn't imagine a soldier, an army going out in wheelchairs. They don't have the ability to maneuver. And so the loins, this part of the body by which you can swing your body, the very table of maneuvering and swinging back and forth that a soldier in combat would need. This is number one. Doesn't matter the rest of the armor if you don't have this one. It is so vitally important, and it's foundational to all the others. The wonderful thing is about this truth, and if we put on the truth and believe the gospel, that the Bible tells you, and it really is our manual. It's like a car manual that gives you all the insides how to operate the vehicle. And the Bible will tell you how to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the Bible will tell you about the shoes of peace and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and prayer. The Bible will tell you a whole lot about prayer. And you know what? Without the Bible, we wouldn't have a clue about any one of those things. Who could start without the Bible and talk about the breastplate of righteousness? You know, the worldly man, the carnal man, who doesn't read the Bible, you just try it. I dare you to try it this week. Talk to somebody and say, do you know about the breastplate of righteousness? Could you put on the breastplate of righteousness? Wouldn't have a clue. But because we take the truth, the Word of God, we do know that there is a righteousness that Jesus purchased by His perfect life and all His good works, all His perfections, earned by His 33 years of living in this world, fulfilling every dot, jot, and tittle of the law, conforming His life to the perfect will of the Father. And then He takes His righteousness and He gives it to those that believe on Him, so that we stand perfect in God's sight with a wonderful garment of righteousness. The Bible tells us these things, but we need to use the Bible as our manual to understand them and enjoy them. And I can't preach any more now on this. I see here some wonderful things that should rejoice all of our hearts. But I would like to call you today to rolling up the tunic, girding your loins with truth, believing the very essential truths of the gospel. What are those truths? Let me just finger point four or five of them for you. Christ is our sacrifice. He's our sacrifice. His blood, His righteousness. Christ is our substitute. He died in our place. Our names were written in the palms of His hands. Christ's death is sufficient. You got to believe that. You see, the other religions of the world say, oh yes, Christ died, but His death wasn't sufficient. You've got to do your part. Get you right back to works and right back to bondage. No, Jesus' death was all sufficient. And fourthly, God is satisfied. He's satisfied with His Son, satisfied with His blood. And as He brings us into His union with Himself, God the Father is satisfied with us. And if you want another S to give you the thumb, we're sealed till the day of redemption. It's a done deed. Jesus bought us with His blood on the cross. The Holy Spirit has come in to apply this in our hearts. And in the book of heaven it's written. Our names are written. It's a done deal. This is our gospel. This is the glory of the one whom we worship today. And we just love Him. We just love Him. Our lament is we don't love Him enough. We get tripped up by the world and the affairs of this world, and we get tangled with things. And we have to come back to the house of worship and confess, Lord, I haven't loved You enough this week. I haven't given You the time and the devotion and the praises that I should have given You. And the devil got the advantage. That's the sad thing. When we don't worship the Lord as we should, the devil gets the advantage. And so I call you to worship. I call you to this girding up the loins of your mind by worshiping. Come to the house of God. Gather with God's people at every opportunity. And let us put on the whole armor of God that we may stand. Thank you. Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you have been encouraged. My burden is that I might stir men to greater things for God, but also to encourage and to give people joy and gladness in serving the Lord Jesus. Here is a wonderful story I have come upon. General, here's your hill. It was a day of terrific loss for both the northern and southern armies. The battle throughout the long day ebbed and flowed, at times favorable to the south, at times favorable to the north. When the conflict was joined at the beginning of the fateful day, General Forrest committed the keeping of a strategic hill to 100 Confederate soldiers, under the command of his younger brother, who was an officer in the Southern Army. The general's orders were brief. Keep this hill against every attack. It must be retained. Late that afternoon, the general recalled the hill and the brother stationed there to defend it. Riding swiftly to the eminence, he beheld a sight most gruesome. Some 95 bodies covered the field of carnage. The general's brother was mortally wounded. With his remaining strength, he drew himself up erectly, saluted and said, "General, here's your hill. The captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus, has committed to us a hill to hold, a hill of shame, sorrow, and death. It is the hill whereon transpired an event which bridged the chasm between man's guilt and lostness and God's mercy and forgiveness. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross with the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain." I hope today that you're standing for the cross and for the hill called Calvary, and that whatever the price may be and whatever the loss of personal gain may be, that you may stand for the Lord Jesus, and having done all to stand, girt with truth, that you might be faithful unto God. Thank you for joining with us. Stay with us now for these closing few announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.